Movie, film, 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 film,
listening to movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Nate, and I'm not brave. I just wasn't in the mood to be a disappointment to everyone.
And I'm Terrell, and I just wanted you to be happy, even if I couldn't be a part of your life.
Our quotes were so sad. What are we doing, a sad movie today? We're or a sad film? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a film.
So what are you...
If Beale Street Could Talk is a film, come on.
I mean, some things are just obvious. But what is your quote?
Okay.
It's... Oh my goodness.
It's from a Wes Anderson movie.
Okay.
It's from The French Dispatch.
Okay.
The third act where Jeffrey Wright plays a James Baldwin type. His character is based off of James Baldwin. He doesn't play James Baldwin. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Okay.
And I really like that quote about bravery is just not wanting to disappoint people.
Yeah.
Not so relevant to Beale Street Beyond the James Baldwin connection, though.
Mm-hmm. And mine's is from Sylvie's Love.
See, that's relevant. That's the same period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I love Sylvie's Love. Right? I gotta rewatch that.
Yeah.
That's a feel good one.
Yeah,
though.
That's a feel good one. That's the one. Yeah, that I need to watch after Beale Street.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, we're talking about the film, If Beale Street Could Talk, and we're going to hear the trailer right now.
You ready for this?
I've never been more ready for anything in my whole life. You know I love you, no matter what happens.
I'm yours and your mine, and that's it. You and me all the time.
Honey, there's something I gotta tell you.
We are drinking to new life. Tish gonna have Fonny's baby.
I hope it's a boy. Come on over here, daughter.
You're a good girl, and I'm proud of you. Don't you ever forget it.
And who's gonna be responsible for this baby?
The father and the mother.
When I hold you in my arms, I gotta hold our baby in my arms.
We'll find a way.
That child was born of sin. That child is your grandchild. What difference does it make how it gets here?
Unbow your head, sister.
We've known Bonnie all his life. He's about to pay for something he didn't do.
These are our children, and we gotta set them free.
Remember, love is what brought you here. And if you trusted love this far, don't panic now. Trust it all the way.
Just remember, be home soon.
If Beale Street Could Talk is a 2018 American romantic drama film written and directed by Barry Jenkins and based on James Baldwin's 1974 novel of the same name. I love that he kept the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very cinematic title. It needs that epitaph at the beginning to really make it make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if like anyone in the studio tried to like
just be like Beale Street
or just change it completely.
Change it completely.
Just like some bullshit like right. Invention.
Yeah.
To attract would take more moviegoers.
It would take away so much from the film, though.
Yes, but maybe could have helped it make more money.
Maybe.
I mean, you yourself said to me in a private conversation the other day that I'm sorry if it's not okay for me to put this on mic. But you said that you think Barry Jenkins is directing the sequel to the live-action Lion King because Beale Street didn't make enough money.
Oh, man. Okay, I said that in like in a jokingly way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't seriously know, but I think a lot of times directors have to like recoup probably, maybe. And I just feel like Barry Jenkins is maybe better than Lion King.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Yeah.
Especially the live action Lion King. Especially the sequel to the live action Lion King.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Barry?
He's recouping.
I still think it's going to be a hell of a lot better than Jon Favreau's live-action Lion King.
Yeah, I mean, come on, look at the shots in this. The shots that will be on those lions' faces.
Those unexpressive faces.
Those beautiful shots of those beautiful animal faces.
I'm just excited to hear the Nicholas Britell score for the Lion King, too. Because, come on, that music is going to be great.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Let's talk about Crew Love. Let's see if any of these people are going to be working on Lion King with Barry, because it's a lot of people that worked on Moonlight, which we did an episode of a couple years ago, including writer and director Barry Jenkins, including costumer Carolyn Esselin, composer already mentioned, Nicholas Britell, love him. We got the sound folks, Onaly Blank and Matthew Waters both worked on Moonlight. Then a couple that worked on Moonlight and another one that we covered, such as Joy McMillan, editor of Moonlight, and Zola.
Okay.
Love, love, love her. Mm-hmm. You were next to me when I was looking up these. That's the one I got vocal about.
Yeah.
I feel a connection to her because she was on the commentary for Zola. So, like, I've already heard from her.
Nice.
I don't know. I forgot to mention James Laxton did cinematography for this and for Moonlight.
Beautiful cinematography.
The other editor, Nat Sanders, co-edited Moonlight as well as Short Term 12.
Mm-hmm.
Visual effects are in both this and Can You Ever Forgive Me? And they were done by the same person, Renuka Bilal. And finally, oh, two more. Production designer Mark Friedberg worked on Selma. And set decorator Chris Moran worked on the Meyerowitz stories, New and Selected.
Interesting.
So, pretty good crew on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a good job in other stuff, and they did a great job on this one. All right. I mentioned the epitaph. That's at the very beginning of this film.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with it.
All right.
I didn't write it down.
Okay. So.
It was like a paragraph and then another sentence.
It was a lot, but it's pretty much just saying like, Beale Street is any street in like where black people are and where they're, you know, where their voices are being like muffled and stifled by the system and just by the world. And Beale Street is a way in which these stories can be told. And that if Beale Street could talk, it's just like, if these places could talk, if these neighborhoods, if these communities could share their stories, this is one of them. And it leads us into this picture.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I assume it's a quote directly from the novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's attributed to James Baldwin. I really like, after the quote fades away, the attribution to James Baldwin just stays on the screen for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a love letter to James Baldwin. I assume he's the Jimmy that the picture is dedicated to at the end.
I assume so. I assume like, that Jimmy, right, Barry, like to go by Jimmy, chummy. Right? It's a little, Yeah, like his friends called him Jimmy.
Right.
You know. So this is for Jimmy.
So yeah, we get that quote. We get the James Baldwin attribution saying on the screen. And then we get that sweet, sweet cello.
Such beautiful strings.
So warm. So vibrant.
So loving.
Our first shot, this overhead crane shot of two lovers, Tish and Fonny, on a very picturesque fall day.
Mm-hmm.
In wearing color coordinated outfits.
Yeah.
The color coordination.
I mean, the,
in If Beale
the
Street
costuming.
Yes.
In Beale Street.
Yes. But it's not even just in the costuming. It's like the sets also have this like whole color story happening with yellows and blues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're walking hand in hand, and the strings are playing, and you can just feel the love in the air. And she turns to him and asks him, "Are you ready?" And he replies, "I've never been more ready in my I've never been more ready."
Yeah. And these shots of their faces. I mean, this is one of Barry Jenkins' strengths.
This
I'd
is
say.
Yeah.
Or signatures.
Signatures, just
if
beauty.
You can have that in only two films. Yeah. Oh no, three. I gotta stop the medicine for melancholy erasure. Just because I haven't seen it, just because I can't find a way to watch it, doesn't mean
it's not,
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
I gotta watch that one. Oh, and then there's a very passionate kiss.
Yes.
Question. Because this picture is told non-linearly.
Mm-hmm.
What is she asking him if he's ready for? Like, what are they about to do?
I think that they're about to... I think they've fallen in love. And I think she's just like, are you ready to kind of like be this unit? Are you ready to join union? Not
so. This is their union.
This is their union.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is it.
I feel that. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get some heartbreaking voiceover about, I hope no one ever has to look at the person they love through glass. And
yeah.
Then a very harsh cut to Fonny through glass.
Yeah.
Imprisoned.
Imprisoned. Separated by glass.
And we get this conversation between Tish and Fonny on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Where she lets him know that she's pregnant.
Yeah. And he's so excited.
Yeah, at this point, the sound kind of like fades out.
Mm-hmm.
It's
we get a voiceover
of
Tish, and she tells him, tells us that he has traditional family values. Mm-hmm. So he always wanted to, you know, ask the parents, like, hey, can I marry your daughter? And then propose, and then get married, and then have a baby, have a family. But that's not what's happening. We also learn their ages. She's 19, he's 22.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both very happy, but there's still, like, sadness in the air.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of sadness, but...
Can't be together.
Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. And then we get a little backstory. This film, it kind of just jumps. So I feel like we're just going to be jumping a lot.
Yeah.
So we get a bit of Fonny's backstory.
Yes.
We learned that he went to vocational school where he found a love of crafting things, but never finished school.
No, he stole the tools from the school.
Mm-hmm.
His whole worldview is don't let the job do the job, but don't let the job be you.
Yes. And I agree.
When we get that reveal from Tish's voiceover, we see these archival photographs
mm-hmm.
showing the ways in which America, I'd say, forces black folks to be the job.
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
And that Fonny found a way found a way to save himself from what seemed like inescapable fate.
Yeah.
Of the people in those neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
you know, of just like the everyday life. And it was, you know, I don't know if he if he's there yet, but pretty much it's being an artist.
Yeah.
It's being an artist and sculpting.
It's finding a thing you love that's outside yourself,
mm-hmm.
having a craft, working on it. Like when we see him sculpting, Barry Jenkins is so good at communicating love just through the way that he places his camera and has everything work together.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see, like, almost literally, obviously figuratively, the love emanating from Fonny's hands.
Yeah.
Onto the sculptures that he's working on.
Yes.
The care.
Mm-hmm.
The importance. This is so beautiful.
So we meet Sharon, who is Tisha's mom, and she walks in, and she's putting away groceries, and Tisha's very nervous. And they start to talk about the lawyer for a little bit, but the mom is slowly reading her face.
Yeah.
And Tish just goes, "Mama?" And we know that she's going to tell her mom.
Yeah, she says "Mama" twice, and her voice is like breaking up, and then it cuts. We don't actually see that conversation.
Yeah, because we're going to have that conversation with the whole family.
With the whole family, and there's going to be some strategy in how it's going to be presented to her father, Joseph.
Yes.
And it involves pouring some drinks.
Taking
out the good glasses.
Yes. And the dad is just like, what's the occasion? What's going on? And he's pouring the liquor, and then she goes, "Not too much for Tish."
Yeah.
You know, Tish. Actually, Sharon breaks the news.
Yeah.
Sharon is the one that says it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's very little hesitation. It's just like the dad just acts like, "You want to do this?" And she says, "Yeah." And then he's all aboard. Like, he's all, like, yeah, happy, all smiles.
He breaks the tension by saying, mm-hmm. "I hope it's a boy."
Yeah. Yeah, and the sister comes over, and she's so happy that her baby sister is having a baby.
I love how when her dad is, like, asking her, like, "Okay, are you sure you want to have it?" She's kind of, like, got her head down, and then her sister says, "Sister, unbow your head."
Yeah.
Because she knows that. She can tell that Tish wants to have the baby,
mm-hmm.
feel strongly about it, and she wants Tish to feel pride.
Yeah, that. Like, there's no shame
in
this house.
No, it's something to be celebrated.
Just love. They invite the shame over later. They invite the shame.
"Hey, shame, come over. Let's hang out. Let's see what happens."
So they're so excited. They think it's great news.
Mm-hmm.
So they are like, "How are we going to break it to Fonny's parents?" And they said, "You know what? Let's invite him over right now, tonight."
Mm-hmm.
And so they invite them over, and we meet Frank Hunt.
Well, before they come over.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Yeah, we get an interlude,
mm-hmm.
Of when Tish knew that she loved Fonny.
Yes.
We get flashes of their childhood together. We get them in the bath, which is another Barry Jenkins specialty, based off the two films I've seen of his.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the moment she knew she loved Fonny is when he gave her mom a sculpture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just, like, so much innocence in it because she's just like, "We grew up together, and so we never really thought of each other in that way until it happened." But when it happened, it was obvious.
Okay, I have in my notes, so I'm not sure when this happens, but it's like in between the family scene. Just another flashback. No, I'm not sure if it's separate. When we see Diego Luna's character for the first time, the waiter, Pedro Cito.
I'm not sure.
I'm just going to mention this now because once we get into the family scene, we got a lot to talk about.
Okay.
So we also get voiceover about Tish, like, getting to see Fonny move in a world other than her own. That growing up with him, she only ever saw him operate in the world that they shared.
Mm-hmm.
And dating Fonny, or getting to be close to him, we see him going into this restaurant and having this friend, Pedro Cito, played by Diego Luna,
mm-hmm.
and, like, these connections, and they get dinner, and she sees that he's a smooth operator.
Yeah.
And that he can move through the world.
And he's the man in his world.
Yeah, the just the prose of this voiceover is so beautiful, and that's got to be from the book, right? Just all that voiceover?
Yeah.
Yeah. I should read more James Baldwin.
Me too.
Yeah. I've only read his short stories. Okay. We've got Frank, the father,
mm-hmm.
who's buddies with Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I like their friendship. Yeah. He's a pretty loose guy.
Mm-hmm. Pretty hip.
He is a self-proclaimed hip person.
He's a hip cat.
Yes. The women of his family are not. They're not very uptight Christians.
Very shrewd.
Very self-righteous.
Very mean.
Terribly mean.
Very righteous.
So before they come in, we get this, like, part of Joseph and Sharon just, like, very intimately dancing.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. 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 Like, that's the example.
And then they get the knock at the door, and it's like, oh, yeah, let's do this now.
Let's do this.
So his family comes in.
So we get a little voiceover as they enter, and Tish pretty much lets us know that Fonny's mother doesn't like her and doesn't think that she's good enough for her son, and that she's not good enough for her, and that because her son lived a sinful life, that in a weird way, she thinks that the mom thinks that that Fonny deserves her, but not in the way, not in the loving way.
Mm-hmm.
So she lives up to that voiceover because she is just so standoffish, and they're trying to, like, be all cheery and nice to her and offer her drinks, and she just has no reply for them. Like, nope. She's like, why am I here? Why am I out of my house? Why? Yeah, yeah. I should be at church service right now.
Yeah.
You know? She definitely that lady.
I'd rather be with God.
Mm-hmm. So,
Tish is going to deliver the news.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Hunt starts to talk about God's plan, you know, and saying that she know that God will fight for her son, but maybe this is what God wants, you know. Maybe this is God's plan, way of leading him to the light. And although she talks of her godly, heavenly love for her son,
She's so hateful.
She has not yet been to see his lawyer.
Right.
So she's doing nothing but praying and actually not putting in any action into the world. But Frank, the father, has seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to note that there's such a difference between the mom and the dad. I can't believe they ever worked.
Right.
In any way. Like, whoa. Like, either he...
Are they still together at the time of this picture? Or are they already apart?
I think they have to be apart. There's no way.
Okay.
But she still misses Hunt. So, I guess...
She's Christian.
Yeah. It's crazy. Maybe she changed. I don't see him being a different person.
Right. It feels like that's who he's always been.
Right.
Like, oh, that's just Frank.
That's just Frank. And she, yeah, something about to happen. So, you know, no one's having a good time. So one of the sisters, like, why did you invite us over here? It couldn't be just to watch my father insult my mother. And Tish replies, maybe that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, right.
We did. It's Saturday night. Like, we could have been bored.
Oh, man.
And so,
There's so much comedy in this scene.
So much comedy. So they're having their little back and forth. The sister gets the last little dig when she says, you know, like, I do think you're that malicious, but I didn't think you were that stupid.
Yeah.
And so it's getting a little hot right now.
Yeah.
So there's another cut. We jump out of the scene.
Is this where the Pedrocito scene is?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is where I have it. Okay. So, yeah, showing a different side of himself. So we don't have to talk about that again. But there is the walk through the rain that is just so beautiful with the tiny red umbrella.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just pops.
That lens flare and the colors.
Mm-hmm.
The romance is very Wong Kar-wai, which I can say because I've now seen 2 Wong Kar-wai films.
Mm-hmm.
Love the influence.
Yeah, greatness influencing greatness.
Like. Mm-hmm.
So what we do get in this scene is that he invites her back to his place, and she replies with, okay.
Yeah.
There's such an innocence in the okay, because like she's only doing this with him. Yeah. You know, she's only going to his place. And so we go back to the moment, and Tish makes the announcement. And instantly, Frank, Fonny's dad, is super happy about the news.
I like how her announcement just starts with, I've called this meeting to say.
Yes.
Very formal.
Very formal. Very proper young lady. The mother calls her the destruction of her son.
Yeah.
You destroyed my son.
Hmm.
And she just, it's going on, and she's kind of cursing.
She's placing a curse.
She's placing a curse on her and this baby.
She says
this
the Holy Ghost is going to make that child shrivel in your womb. What a fucking terrible thing to say to someone.
What a terrible thing to say about your grandchild. Like, your grandchild is, like, being developed here. And
another terrible thing is Frank responds by hitting her.
By hitting her, knocking her onto the floor, and it becomes just this super messy situation.
Yeah.
And what's Tish's dad's
name? Joseph.
Joseph and Frank leave. They decide to leave.
Yeah, Sharon's like, take him away.
Take him away. This
You'll
is
not need it anymore.
Yeah.
And then they tell, even after she got smacked and is on the ground.
Yeah.
They still have to tell her off themselves.
Yes. So it becomes the ladies, it's 3-on-3.
Yeah.
The ladies are going at it.
It is 3-on-3.
You know, they're just like, who's going to take care of this baby? Who's going to raise this baby? Because she's uneducated and he's in jail and da-da-da-da. And Tish is just like, I'm going to do it, you old dried up cunt.
Yeah.
And that makes her get up and get in her face, and then her sister, Ernestine, steps in and is just like, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I've been waiting to jump on you. So, like, give me the opportunity right now.
Yeah.
And so they're really just standing up for Tish.
Yeah, I did notice in the background, just on the mantle, you can see the sculpture that Fonny gave Sharon. Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't notice. So
They leave in a huff, and they almost don't take their coats with them.
And Ernestine throws the coats out. They can't even come back
to
Sharon's get their
coats. Sharon's like, take
your shit. Yeah, because they just can't believe their reaction. So just like so horrible, horrible.
No compassion. No love.
No love.
No love for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting. So then we go back. To Fonny taking Tish home.
By the way, I just want to say that was Anjanue Ellis, and she was phenomenal. It was her one scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was so good.
She was so good.
I didn't even realize that was her.
That's her.
Yeah. Yeah, when she's placing that curse.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate her. I hate her, so she was definitely really good.
No, she was really good.
Like, I still hate her.
Even watching King Richard, you're just like, I don't know why. I'm just...
Oh, no. No, she is the heart of King Richard.
Yeah.
Queen Brandy.
So we flash back to Sexy Time with Tish and Fonny, and he's very gentle with her and very slow.
Yeah, I really like the pitter-patter of the rain.
Yeah. The record playing. The record on the playing.
Yeah, he's saying, don't be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure she's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get love.
Love, yeah.
We get to see love made.
Yeah. And this is cut with a voiceover that starts. Mrs. Victoria Rogers declares on the evening of October 5th that she was criminally sexually assaulted by a man she now claims to be Fonny. So we just saw maybe one of the most gentle love scenes in like film, you know. And then in the next scene, we hear something terrible.
Yeah, we learn that he was accused of rape.
Yeah.
We get some details that it would have been impossible for him to get to the scene of the crime from his apartment because between the rape and the arrest.
Yeah.
They're on totally different sides of town.
Yeah. It's too far of a run.
Yeah, the officer who he had a previous altercation with claims that he saw Fonny fleeing the scene.
Yes.
Victoria identified him in the lineup. But Tish and Fonny's friend Daniel were with him at the time. However, it's considered unreliable because Tish is in a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learn in the following scene, I think, with the lawyer that... Daniel might not testify in Fonny's favor because he's got his own legal troubles.
Yeah, he's actually been arrested. So it all seems like planned, because we also learned that Victoria goes back to... She disappears.
Yeah.
So she disappears and Tish's... You know, testimony is no good, and Daniel has been arrested.
Yeah. Now we get to meet Daniel, is that right? I kind of skipped over the lawyer scene.
Oh, yeah.
Like how she pled with the lawyer to call him Fonny and not Alonzo. If you're with us, you got to be with us. You got to be in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have Tish goes back to visit Fonny. It's her second visit, and we see that he's breaking, and that he knows that the DA is out to get him, and he has this this outburst because like he is going through a struggle in there that we don't even get to see.
It's unspeakable.
You know, it's unspeakable. But he apologizes for his outburst immediately. We meet Daniel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe my favorite interlude.
Take it away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We just like start and there's this music cue and there's this shot of the houses down the street. And it's just like, it's just old friends.
Yeah.
Just that feeling of running into someone and being like, oh, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Fonny didn't really have money to pay for a cab, but he immediately hailed a cab for them to get back to the apartment so they could catch up.
And have drinks.
Daniel gets to meet Tish, and they get along great. He like teases her, but she serves it right back, and he loves that.
Yeah.
They're in Fonny and Tish's apartment. Fonny talks about the troubles that they've had getting a loft, and how if it's just one of them, then they just notice the difference between that and if they're together. It tells a story about Tish looking at a place by herself, and the landlord thinks that
he can get with her.
He's gonna rent her a place and also be her romantic partner.
Yeah.
So when Fonny came to the second viewing, they were denied.
Yeah.
Just shit.
Yeah. So
and then Daniel's got some shit.
And he plans to leave the country. Like, he wants to get out of America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That is, like, his ultimate goal is to take him and Tish and just leave this mess behind.
Like James Baldwin, who moved to Paris.
Yeah, Daniel starts to open up, and we learn that he's been in jail for 2 years for a stolen car, but we also learn that he can't drive.
Yeah, he did not steal that car. He was arrested for weed possession.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the charge for marijuana in the 80s looked way worse. And so he took a plea, which is a big thing that happens in life and in this film.
Yep.
And so in this conversation, he warns of the unspeakable and just the evilness of prison and just like that they can do anything to you. And he like looks him in his eyes and he's like, no, they can like what they can do anything to you. Mm-hmm. So
eyes welling with tears.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing performance by Brian Tyree Henry.
Really, really good. And so we kind of get this picture of a man that would probably do anything to never go back there.
Yeah.
And so when we get this piece of the story and then we hear that he's been arrested and then they'll be like, hey, you know, we can let you go or we can give you a shorter time if you, you know, don't validate Fonny's alibi.
It's evil.
It's evil.
It's pure evil.
Yeah.
But also, because of what we saw, you got to understand where Daniel's coming from.
Yeah.
It's such a shitty situation such that he was put
situation.
In.
Such a bad situation.
But, like,
yeah.
Can't blame him.
So We take a break from that. They break it with a laugh, you know what I mean, and some beers. And then Nina Simone starts to play. And they say grace and start to chow down on dinner.
Yeah.
Becomes a really nice dinner scene. Hmm.
The next thing I have is a nightmare.
You go ahead. Because the next thing I have is Tish gets a job at the perfume counter.
Okay, right before that, we get this little nightmare where Tish is waiting for the train and she's for the subway and she's very pregnant at this point. And she's all alone, and then Fonny comes running down the subway stairs, and the gate is closed, and it's very reminiscent of him being behind bars in prison, and he shouts out, and there's just, like, the rush of the subway, and it's very jarring, and Tish wakes up from the nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get this interlude about her working. So the dream really just showing how scared she is that she is probably going to have to raise a child without the father.
Yeah. I love the start of this segment where she goes, sis calls me a Jezebel, calls me Jezebel, says I smells like a Louisiana hooker.
smell like a Louisiana whore.
And in this like voiceover monologue, she starts to break down the differences between a black cat and a white man
approaching the perfume counter.
Yes. Yeah. And how they handle her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, a black cat will either not approach or he will put out his hand to be sprayed and lift his own hand to his nose.
Yeah.
But a white man will take your hand and bring it to his nose and he will hold it there for a long time. Yeah.
And then the example we see, that guy just leaves.
Yeah. Very creepy. Very creepy.
Yeah. And we get like a close up of her face and she's like, I forced myself to smile for 8 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
You can just like feel the pain in her jaw.
Yeah. And her smile. The pain in her smile. So the sisters are having lunch. And Ernestine is just like, okay, good news, bad news. And she goes, bad news. And so the bad news is that they found Victoria.
Yes.
She's in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
What's the good news? That they found her.
Yeah.
No, actually, the good news is that you smell great.
Right.
So, yeah, they found her, but She's in Puerto Rico, so they have to get money in order to send someone to Puerto Rico in order to talk to her and maybe get her back.
Yeah. At this point, I think we get a flashback of them looking at a loft.
Yes.
Okay. one thing that bothers me.
Okay.
I understand that Barry Jenkins wanted to get the point across that this character played by Dave Franco is a Jewish man.
Yeah.
Does the scene have to start with an overhead shot of his yarmulke?
I don't know. There's
you could have just had that character wearing that. I don't know.
At
the same time, I do recognize that probably one of the reasons why I love this movie is that the only seemingly decent white people are Jewish people. There's two Jewish characters that seem decent.
Are trying, yeah.
Yeah. I probably have a bias towards this movie because of that.
Because of that. I mean, it's a good scene on the rooftop, honestly, when he is relating to them.
I'm my mother's son.
Yeah, and that believing in love and loving love and loving couples and.
Yeah, so essentially, this is the only guy that's gonna rent a loft to Tish and Fonny, and it's because
really,
he has a caring Jewish mother.
I mean, it's a loft, but it's really just a big department store floor.
Tish needs a lot of help imagining how it can become a house, and then we get this really cute thing with them pantomiming moving the fridge in, and Levy's playing along with the Dave Franco character, and obviously that's the Jewish character I was talking about.
And
they get the rooftop and they're what's the catch, and he says I just dig love.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I do too.
I do too. I am my mother's son. So they let out screams of excitement on the street, and this is where I start to well up with emotions, just because there's so much hope and love in this scene for the future. You know, they don't know what we know at this moment, and they also don't know what they will know in the future. And so it's just kind of heartbreaking to see that this couple was maybe, building towards something beautiful.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so he asks her, "Are you ready?" And she replies, "I've never been more ready."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
What do you have next?
I just wrote dads.
Yeah, it's dads. So the dads are at the bar.
Yes.
Talking.
I love Coleman Domingo.
Frank is worried about money, but Joseph is don't worry about money. We never worry about money.
You ever had money before?
Exactly.
Why are you worried about it now?
Yeah, exactly. It's just
we raised our families.
We made it somehow. Let's not worry about that now, And we have ways of getting the money, even if we have to go outside of the system to do it.
Talks about the white devil stealing everything that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We can steal too.
And I can rob.
Yep.
So they're going to hustle their asses off.
We just or is this later? Maybe it's later, but can I just talk about it now? The sequence where we see them at work?
Yeah.
Split screen.
Yeah.
Amazing. Just to be this is going to be a 70s style heist kind of thing.
Yes.
For just this 1 minute of If Beale Street Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, the split screen makes it so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And
we get a little bit more with the lawyer, just a little bit.
Yeah, we see the voiceover. That it's affecting him personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't
taking on this case.
Yeah, he didn't realize that he was going to face pushback, and it made him curious, and then it made him angry that he was maybe being told to step away from this.
Yeah, so it seems like this guy thought it was just a misunderstanding, and then is learning, this is how the system is built.
Yes.
He thought there was a flaw in the system, and he's learning that.
He was a very young lawyer.
The system's working how it was intended to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we also learned that mom is going on the journey to Puerto Rico.
Yes. Then we go back to that day, right? That day they saw the loft.
I have third visit.
Oh, okay.
Third visit. This is the third visit to prison that we see.
Oh, it's rough.
It's in the later stage of her pregnancy. But they find ways to laugh.
Wait, I thought the third visit was after Puerto Rico.
That's the fourth, when he's all beat up.
Oh, yeah, I missed the third one in my notes. Yeah.
Because it is short and it's cute, and it's like that loomingness of sadness, but also they're just finding ways to like laugh.
This is when they're just laughing about how big she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're so cute.
Yeah. So what I have next is Italian market.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The same that night after they saw the loft that they planned to live in, he goes across the street for cigarettes. She goes to the grocer to get some food for dinner, and she's being harassed.
Mm-hmm.
She tells the guy to stop. He does not. Finally, Fonny gets back from getting his cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
and gets between Tish and this man that's harassing her.
Yeah, and throws him out the store into the trash. Throws him out
the store into the trash. Yeah. At which point Officer Bell approaches.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at this guy and you know he's
racist.
You
just look at him.
I mean, even without the uniform that he's wearing,
mm-hmm.
there's something about this actor that they cast. He has like this super harsh face.
He has a super harsh face, and I don't mean that in a mean way. And he also has like his teeth are. This is I feel weird talking about somebody's face like this, but these are the things that make.
These are the things that the casting directors looked at.
Yeah. And it's the thing when you like look at his face, you're just like, ugh. And his, I don't know, he has like, it's kind of crooked and kind of sharp and scary looking.
Yeah, and his face has like these really severe angles,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like pretty asymmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just ugly.
Mm-hmm. And his eyes are very blue. And he has blonde hair.
Yes.
So he is trying to intimidate them, and
the dude he threw out immediately runs away when Officer Bell comes.
Yeah. And it's just like grabs Fonny and it's like, I'm taking you in for battery and assault.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't see anything, he doesn't know what's happening. He's gonna take him in, and he's only saved by an older white woman in the community that vouchers for them. And I was like, no, I know this couple. They come
here.
She
wasn't wearing a yarmulke, but I could tell that she was Jewish too. She comes to their aid.
She does. She saves them. Oh, that's the other Jewish person you were talking about. I didn't realize. I didn't know. I thought, well, I guess she could be Italian and Jewish. I just was just like, she's an older Italian lady.
Oh, maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
So, she saves them, and then they go into the store because that is...
I'm claiming her.
You're claiming her? Okay, claim her. That's a good representation. A good cameo. But Fonny is upset that she defended him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And she said, why? You defended me, but he feels strongly that...
He feels strongly...
It's his... role as a man to do that,
yeah,
and that she's putting herself in danger,
yeah, and it comes from love, mm-hmm. but he's also just a man of his time,
yeah,
so you know it comes from love. So
he was scared that she would have faced criminal charges,
which is weird because in that moment I wasn't scared for her. But I could see how he would be scared for her, you know. So they don't have dinner anymore because all they grabbed were tomatoes, but he smashed the tomatoes on a brick wall.
Right.
So
they go to Pedro Cito's place.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like this cute thing where he's like, is there...
I don't have any money, but I will. And but we're very hungry. And so he's like, so I guess you want to sit down and eat. And I guess you want a margarita. Yeah, yeah, it's cute.
And they eat, and then we cut to, like, Tish and Fonny slow dancing in the restaurant, and mm-hmm. Pedro Cito and his woman dancing in the restaurant together. Mm-hmm. Very romantic.
Very romantic. And so it's the night of conception.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the night that, I mean, we see them making love. We see that this is the night it starts.
Mm-hmm.
So Mama gets to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. We get some Puerto Rico music.
Yeah.
They're like the Puerto Rico version of this score.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sequence that won her the Oscar.
Yeah.
Right?
Most likely. It's just like, it's really good silent performance. Yeah. Just through the face.
Want to describe it?
So, yeah, she's getting ready. She's putting on her makeup. She's making sure that her wig is fluffed. And she puts her hair up and puts on the wig and looks in the mirror. And just like, I can do this. I can do this. No words, just in her face. And then she just takes her wigs off, her wig off and her cap off and just pulls on her hair a little.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, you know, we're realizing that this is it, right?
Yeah.
This is what we came out here to do. But first she has to meet with a guy. I don't know his name.
I don't even remember his name. It's played by Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. So Pedro is kind of Victoria's keeper,
yeah,
overseer, while she's, you know, in this state,
and he's trying to get rid of Sharon.
Yeah. And she has to convince him that she is here to do the right thing, to do right by her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's got a picture of Fonny and Tish together.
Yeah. And just like, I would not marry my daughter off to a rapist. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, I believe that she was assaulted. I do. But I do know that it was not Fonny.
Right.
And she's able to convince him to set up the meeting. And they meet face to face.
It's a tough scene.
It's a tough scene. Because you can just see in the different ways in which Sharon is trying to make her do what she wants her to do, right? And just ways in which she's trying to communicate to her by calling her daughter and by being a woman and like being like, I'm a woman, I can relate to you, I'm relating to you. And it just doesn't seem to be working. And Victoria doesn't admit that, you know, the cops told me to pick him and I picked him.
Hmm.
So she didn't say, I mean, she said it pretty much, which is that I was coached pretty much to pick who they wanted me to pick.
Right.
And that she's fine with that,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know, it gives her peace and having someone.
She doesn't seem at peace, though.
She doesn't seem at peace. No, she's very, very hurt, very broken. And, you know, the last thing Sharon does is she tries to use religion as a way to get her to do the right thing.
She kind of, I don't think this was the wisest choice to, like,
I think she was
her.
Just panicked. She was so, you could see it. She's like, no, I'm losing her. Like, like, oh no, like it's slipping. Mm-hmm. And it does slip away.
Yeah. She touches her cross necklace, but mm-hmm. just the touch for a rape survivor. You gotta be more careful with that.
Yeah. And so she freaks out and she panics and she has to be taken away.
So it's one thing I know is you've never been raped.
Yeah.
To Sharon.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. The worst thing that could happen just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. we cut.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, here's a hard scene, here's an uplifting scene.
Yeah.
I guess this is the one I was talking about, mostly with love emanating from Fonny's hands, because it's this woozy saxophone score, this very yellow, brightly, lots of sunlight coming into his studio. Fonny's sculpting, really using his hands. There's smoky smoke in the air from the cigarette. However,
I don't get the art. Like when I look at
it. Okay, yeah, this one I don't get.
I don't get it.
I liked the other ones. This one,
it makes me feel something. I feel like it wants me to feel something. I feel something, but I don't know what it is. It doesn't look like much, and so I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm glad
what
you
the
say that because I asked my girlfriend Sarah, who was an art history major, what she thought of it. Like all she said is, "Yeah, I mean, it looks really industrial.
Yeah,
but also made of natural materials.
Yeah,
I don't really know what to make of it though."
Yeah.
The shape doesn't do much for me. I much preferred the one that he made for Sharon.
Yeah.
But you can see that he's really getting a lot out of the creation of this piece.
Yeah. We can see his
hands.
And
also, I don't know art.
I don't know. I don't know art, but it was too artsy for me, I guess.
So, yeah, this yellow, like, the camera spinning around him, just love and life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, interspersed with like blue, dark shots of Fonny in bed in prison,
flexing his fingers.
He's like fidgeting his hands, and he's got nothing to do with his hands now.
Yeah, I figured in that scene it was either because he wants to make art in this moment and he can't, or because now he's using his hands for violence
to survive.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he has to fight in there.
Yeah, and the next scene we get is the fourth visit, right?
Yeah, and
At this point, Fonny is visibly, or Tish is visibly shaken to see Fonny, who is in terrible shape.
Yeah, he's been in a fight or two or three or however many. He's just been fighting. His eyes
and
red.
Not eating.
Yeah, he looks
emaciated
and in bad shape. But
Tish tells him the bad news.
Yeah. And he has a moment where he drops his head, but then he picks his head back up. And he has this monologue pretty much talking about how he didn't know that he wanted to be, or he was an artist. But he realizes that that's what he is.
Yeah.
And it gives him comfort in knowing that, and that he's going to get out of prison.
He's going
to
come home.
He's going to build a dinner table.
A big table for the family.
To eat for many years.
For the family to be together eating dinner.
Yeah.
He's going to make it. Then he gets up and the camera like goes out of focus. Making like Fonny like fade into the background.
Yeah. And there's a few other things that happen, but the main thing that happens is that Tish gives birth.
Okay, right before that, though, she's very pregnant
and
very alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some flashbacks to some flashbacks, two flashbacks that we had already seen, like baby Tish and Fonny in the bath together. Their first date, their romantic night. But that's interspersed with her in the loft all alone. Sitting there, and then this gorgeous water birth sequence really cements Barry Jenkins as the king of bathtub cinema, in my opinion.
Bathtub cinema.
The camera is underwater.
Yeah.
The child is delivered.
POV.
And is like glowing.
Yeah.
And then the camera like swoops out from the water, like with the child, as if like we are now the child.
We
that
are
was
the child,
born.
Yeah.
And Tish is holding the child and repeating over and over again, "I got you, I got you, Mama's got you, I love you."
Yeah. And her mother's there with her.
Her mother's there with her. She, the mother, delivered the child. What can't this woman do?
No.
Fearless.
So Vio, we learned that they are still not married. And she talks about how the system has a way of stretching out men's or just like people's trials.
Yeah.
So that they are imprisoned longer and they can get them to take a plea, which is what happened with Daniel, right?
Yeah, he while she's explaining this, we get our second bit of the picture that uses archival photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And these are really illustrating what the system uses these men for when they're kept in prison longer than, not even longer than they need to. No one should be kept in prison. But we see that they're put to work, and it really drives home that
the
criminal justice system is modern-day slavery.
Which is crazy, because in this election year, in this midterm, there was a vote on slavery in the prison system in certain states like Tennessee.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
How did it go?
I think it got passed to end it in every state. But I did see that in one of the states, it was like 10% still approved it.
Yeah.
But now that it's taken to a vote, people are just like, yeah, let's end that.
Definitely got to read about that.
That's yeah.
exciting.
Crazy. Crazy times. So,
Fonny's not going to be sentenced to death, but he is going to be kept in prison.
Yeah. His trial takes so long that he ends up just taking a plea.
Mm-hmm.
And doing time for the crime that he didn't commit.
Hey, we can stick with this, actually, if you want to sit in this for a little bit, but I have a question.
Okay.
How cute is Lil Fonny?
Very cute. Very cute. Very
so
adorable.
Cute.
You gotta say grace.
Yes.
Very cute. Now, I want to know what he wrote on the paper.
So it was like a picture of like his dad being home with
mm-hmm.
them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She said that ever since I told him that, he just writes it repeatedly. So is there a release date in mind? I hope.
Well, maybe.
I need some happiness.
But they're together. They're at a table.
Mm-hmm. They're at a table.
Fortunately, it's the table that the system built for them.
Yeah.
And they say grace. That's like one of the last pieces of dialogue, is them expressing their gratitude
yeah.
despite the horrible situation that
yeah.
they found themselves in,
mm-hmm.
that they've been forced into.
Yeah. And I would say it's been about 3 or 4 years
yeah.
going by the sun.
Yeah, he's a cute little toddler.
Yeah, cute little baby.
We get the dedication for Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, okay. You know,
yeah.
Barry Jenkins' best
Barry
friend,
Jenkins.
James Baldwin.
Mm-hmm, love that. Love that friendship.
And the credits roll over a soulful rendition of My Country, Tis of Thee. Fuck My Country.
And that is If Bill Street Could Talk.
The film.
The film. The film, like very clearly the film. Very, I mean, if there ever was a film in modern day, this is it. This is just lush, on top of beauty, on top of romance, on top of sadness, on top of just character placement and cinematography
yeah.
and colors and costume
mm-hmm.
and just like period piece and just
excellent,
you know, just
filmmaking,
excellent
storytelling.
Just, yeah,
I haven't read the novel, but what a good adaptation!
Mm-hmm.
It kept a lot of the. Well, I can't speak to that because I didn't read the book, but I like that it was non-linear.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to keep up with all the information being told, and
yeah.
it took me on a journey that probably wouldn't have been effective if it was, or as effective if it was told chronologically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. I love it. I also got real emotional while speaking. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
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 Well, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix right now if you want to rewatch it. And we'll be back with another episode. Christmas episode.
Christmas.
Of movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
At Movie Film Pod on social media.
Thank you. Rate us 5 stars.